Hello, this is Randy George. I'm an architect from the Tivoli NetCool networking products with a focus on network analytics. Today I thought I'd take you through the direction that the portfolio is making with respect to providing a solution to helping our telco customers have better insight into their data, making better business decisions. The name of the solution is NetCool Network Analytics. Some might think of it or might even have heard of it as CEM 2.0. So you take a look at the portfolio today, the NetCool portfolio. As you're well aware, we have
Management solutions with Omnibus and additional root cause analysis with ITNM. We have TMPM for performance management and ITNCM for configuration management, as well as enrichment and automation capabilities through tools like Impact. As we move up the stack, if you would, the next level of business value, and this is the area we're going to be talking about today in the portfolio, is around service quality management, customer experience management, and some SLA management, as well as business service management. So this is the part of the portfolio that brings that holistic view of the end-to-end customer experience and service management. Today, out in the market that are currently GA products, we have a single offering called Tivoli Service Quality Management Center. This is actually a solution of three products, TBSM, or Tivoli Business Service Manager, TNSQM, or Tivoli NetCool Service Quality Manager, or TNCEM, which is Tivoli NetCool Customer Experience Manager. Those three products combined provide an integrated solution that allows our customers to really manage this, at a SOC level or service operations center to ensure the quality of services that they're providing to their end customers. In addition to monitoring that quality of service, they can ensure that the customers are achieving the appropriate experience for those services as well. As you probably know, a service can be within the bounds of the service level objectives as defined in SLA, but an individual customer's experience might not be acceptable. So we have to also understand how the customer's experience is, as well as the overall service effectiveness. And with that, so we can look at, a lot has to do with how we monitor certain aspects of the service, KQIs, if you would, key quality indicators. We can set thresholds, alarm, integrate up into a common dashboard provided by TBSM with alarm integration by Omnibus, and drill down into specific views of how the customer's experience is or how the business service is being managed. And this is an offering today, like I said. It's based on off-the-shelf set of service models that we provide that you can plug in, mainly targeted. Most of those COTS models are targeted for wireless customer providers. So you'll see that we have, GSM, GPRS, UMTS. We just recently added LTE, et cetera. Now, with this offering, some of the recent updates, we've had three recent releases, 4.2.3 all the way up to 4.2.5. Along with that, that's the platform release, and you'll see a lot of enhancements to bring that solution further together with integrations, additional thresholding, which integrates up into a TBSM dashboard, launching context back down into the drill-throughs into CEM, and then even into BO reporting. They use business object reporting in this offering as well. We've updated the platform support and included platform support like Linux, et cetera. So we've added some platform currency and some new platforms. We've also enhanced the COTS model. COTS model be the commercial off the shelf, where these are, if you would, bundles that get installed onto the platform to provide support for monitoring the service or the customer experience for very key services such as VoIP or UMTS and et cetera. The ones that are recent that are announced, like Delta, those were updates to packs. For example, the HSPA pack in the 4.2.4 timeframe was updated. You'll also see some, there are new packs. For example, LTE was recently reduced or produced and released into the market at the end of last year. So there's been some recent updates into this package. Wanted to give you an update on where that is before we take you to where we're going next with this set of capabilities. So taking a step back, says, what would the next release look like? We decided to take a look at where's the market going, and what are the pain points that our customers, our CSPs, if you would, are having that we need to help address with a solution like this. And most of this information, I think, is pretty obvious because we all are going mobile ourselves, and we all experience this, so we understand where the kind of the trends are going. Traffic growth is growing greatly. It's actually growing faster, the demand for revenue. And the reason I say we know this, we all use our own smartphones. We're doing more and more data-type applications on our smartphones, our mobile devices, our tablets, etc. And so we ourselves are experiencing this and contributing to this data growth. As mentioned, the smartphone and mobile phones are coming, and with bandwidth increases like LTE, more and more of the usage pattern will be high volume data, such as video streaming and things like that. In fact, some people think that about 2/3 of the data use for LTE will be video streaming. So the demand is increasing greatly. The type of usage pattern and the type of devices coming onto the network are increasing and changing greatly. The days wasn't that long ago where a CSP's job was to get the voice call off onto the PSTN as fast as possible, and now it's really providing additional services, data bandwidth, etc. However, the real challenge is revenues and the available bandwidth is not keeping up to the demand. So our customers really need to have the type of tools at their hands so they can make the right decisions to try to optimize the revenue and optimize their bandwidth to try to keep up with this growing demand. And another perspective we took a look at is from a customer perspective, what I believe is going on. And if you look at it, it's kind of an astounding set of information is, customers really are saying they would pay to have a better service experience, better level of customer service, to get their problems fixed better, faster, and easier. They also ranked telco industry as dead last for customer service. So it's just kind of an eye-opener that says, okay, our telco, our service providers have this challenge of increasing demand, increasing utilization, more and more services being utilized. However, the demand is ramping up fast, but their experience is the worst in the industry. So what can we do to help solve that, right? So that's what we need to look at. So the net is what I kind of just went over, more and more complex offerings, higher demand being generated by our customers. A whole proliferation of new devices and technologies are being thrown at the CSPs, and increasing customer expectations. I mean, I personally know that, I used to tolerate having to walk down a hall, get close to a window for a voice call. It's no longer the norm anymore. We expect the service to be a much better delivery than it was a couple years ago. So all of these challenges are being thrown at our CSPs who currently have, as rated by that survey, the worst experience in the market. And as revenues become a challenge, the last thing CSPs can afford is to lose customers or to have customers churn. So one of the key areas they need the insight, as mentioned before, is how do I optimize my network? How do I optimize my revenues, and how do I keep my customers happy so that they do not churn and move to another provider so I can maintain those revenues? So we divided kind of the value prop, if you would, into three areas, right? Customer care and customer experience, looking at the network and prioritizing and managing and optimizing my investments in that network, i.e. keeping up with the demand. So the first one could be looked at, how do I keep my customer experience at the level and growing so they do not churn? Second area is, how do I optimize my network and my investment in my network to try to keep up with that demand? And the third area, marketing campaign management, is how do I really try to generate additional revenues, right? By campaign optimization, looking at social patterns and trying to do upsells and understanding how new device rollouts are happening so that I might want to sell additional services as customers upgrade to, you know, 4G phones or smartphones and things like that, et cetera. Okay, so I'm going to, the next couple slides, I'm going to drill into these three areas quickly to show the key focus areas for the direction we're taking. So customer experience, as I mentioned, you know, we have to help our CSPs improve on the experience their customers are having. What's the key goal? Customer retention. We can't afford customer churn. In addition, you hope it's customer subscriber growth, right? And by doing that, by increasing the satisfaction levels you have, you can do that, right? So that is the goal. Understand what motivates the customer, what services they're using, what problems they've been having. Maybe be in proactive understanding so that when they do make a call into the support center, one might already know what problem they've been having. One might already know the type of services they've been acquiring. Maybe they don't have their APN configured correctly, or and they could be told right away. Things like that, to better understand that customer's usage pattern, so when they call in, we have a better feel for what their problems are, where they're coming from, what their propensity to churn is, and et cetera. Next area is under what's called cost management or network optimization. Where do we need to invest? Where are we wasting? How can we analyze the network to understand how we could maybe, if you would, deprecate the 2G network as we move to 3G and 4G? So understanding our customers maybe are using 2G services but have 3G capable phones, and we can start to roll off that older equipment, if you would, right? Where do we need to invest? Where's my higher group of maybe I'll call it 4G users coming on board, buying 4G phones, starting to use more of the advanced services? Maybe I need to invest in this geographic area here to ensure additional bandwidth, et cetera. So understanding usage patterns, understanding the trends, et cetera, help improve the investment decisions. And then last but not least, obviously, is having additional insight so we can increase customer spend. This is understanding the patterns. You know, what type of services are you using? And it's, in addition to increasing customer spend, it's also, you know, understanding where we might be losing revenues. For example, customers might be turning to WhatsApp and not and the revenues for traditional SMS and traditional MMSs might be going down because they're using a third-party solution for messaging, like a WhatsApp. They could use, you know, Apple's Messenger, BlackBerry Messenger, etc. So those type of insights are important as you understand how your revenues are going. You might also want to understand the spend behaviors and the social patterns between these users so that you can have targeted markets. You also want to understand usage patterns by device types, by geography, et cetera. And all three of those interlock, all three of those areas, right? So obviously, if you're going to try to increase customer spend for high bandwidth type applications, additional video stream, et cetera, you know, we want to make sure that the network is optimized to support, hopefully, that increased revenue gained by those additional sales. So looking at that, how do you, you know, the question is, how do we provide the necessary insight? From a telco, to get that, we have to really have to look at data from various different aspects across the network to really understand what's going on with respect to the network, with respect to the customer, et cetera. So we have to get transactional data, and typically can come in from a passive probes, can come in from a CDRs and things like that, IPDRs. You have to look at network data, you know, that come in from another performance management system, or comes in through an element management system or through network elements themselves. Understanding from a config management system as well, you know, things like, you know, neighboring type of cells, et cetera, those type of relations. And last but not least, we can events and logs. Well, today in many CSPs, that breadth of data, if you would, is siloed across various different tools and various different groups in the organization. And it's really hard to provide the necessary insight and analytics with that type of siloed approach. So what we're looking at doing is bringing that data into a single consolidated model, an optimized model that allow the customers to have insight on subscribers, we talked about, the network, as we talked about, from an optimization perspective, as well as from a, you know, profitability perspective, and trying to understand how spends are going on, how social patterns are going on, and where we can have target marketing to increase those spends, if you would. Okay. In addition to this, by being able to bring this data together and allow for that type of analytics, you also eliminate a lot of redundant data sources out there from that siloed approach. And the many of those silos, not only is it fragmented and keeps one from providing the holistic view of analytics, it also in many cases has duplicate data across. So there's just some side benefits in that regard as well. So taking a step back, said, okay, now let's pick, where do we want to go with SQMC? We said, okay, these are the three areas we need to really provide. We need to better provide better customer insight, and we need better network optimization as well as marketing effectiveness. And we want to bring data together from all those various disparate sources into a consolidated offering. Well, the current platform that SQMC is based on is not optimized to handle that type of data consolidation. If we're looking at customers, just an average CSP, to bring that type of volume of data together, you're talking probably in the 500 to 800 terabyte database size. And the current SQMC platform is not optimized to scale to that high levels. So we took a step back and said, okay, IBM's been investing billions, literally billions of dollars and big data analytics, in addition to acquisitions such as Cognos, Netezza, DataStage, iLog, SPSS, actually been investing also in research and coming up with products like InfoSphere Streams to analyze high volumes of data in motion, as well as working with the open source area and improving insights with using technologies like Hadoop. So we have this concept of an advanced analytics platform that allows for, you know, data integration to real-time streaming analytics to call it a high-scale analytic appliance to unstructured data analytics using Hadoop to some advanced predictive analytics with SPSS and iLog, and all the way up to that to have analytical views and dashboards, et cetera, using Cognos. And from that stack, there's been a series of analytical offerings built on top of that stack in the comm sector. Those range from customer experience analysis to churn prediction analytics, anomaly detection, video analytics, and so on. And so the value of that platform, not only is it extensible and that can plug in various different analytic types, so we within Network Analytics have been focusing on customer experience analytics, which is going back to the previous chart or the introduction chart called it CEM 2.0. This is the next evolution or the next logical release of CEM. However, we're rebasing it on IBM's investment of big data analytics, and we're going to leverage initially the capabilities of DataStage for data integration. This is not only collecting the data from various different sources on the network like probes and CDRs and performance data, etc. But this is also allows us to integrate dimensional data from such sources as billing or inventory, etc. So DataStage provides a nice, highly scalable data integration story. tease it, and I'll be going through a little bit of this base platform a little later in the slide. I'll dive into those. Netezza gives us is the real key for enabling us to scale into the hundreds of terabytes of data to allow us to crunch this volume of data and provide the insight and the analytics that our customers needed that I described earlier in the chart. And then last but not least, Cognos gives us the perspective to view and these analytics, whether they be in a dashboard on a mobile device, in a written report, export a PDF and email, you know, all the various capabilities that Cognos gets you, provides that allows the end users to have insight into this data, even in an ad hoc perspective with respect to Query Studio or even business insights. So network analytics takes the best of breeds of these capabilities and builds on top of it some very specific domain data integration, highly optimized data model for these type of analytics, the best practices of KPIs or KQIs on top along with this data model, and some very specific analytic views. In addition, it provides a holistic solution on top of that. Now, with that said, a customer that starts out with NetCore Analytics, the advantage of this analytics platform by starting out with something like NetCore Analytics. Let's say they say, I want to add predictive. I want to understand customer churn and be able to predict customer churn. Well, you can bring in SPSS, do the model, define the model for churn analysis that you want, and then plug that into this exact same framework, store that churn prediction into the data model, and report on that along with everything else within our analytical views in Cognos. So it is a highly extensible platform as well. Here's another perspective of what the first release will look like, give you a little better view. So the first release is optimized because it's based on CEM, which is really brings in the majority of transactions and user transactions on the network. So we're looking at probes and XDRs coming in. We're using DataStage to mediate that, bring that up, and we'll even support third-party mediation integration. Again, into a highly optimized model into the Netezza database. So it's highly optimized for Netezza. And it's highly optimized Cognos model sitting on top of that. And then we leverage Cognos, as I mentioned, Cognos 10.1.1, which includes mobile support. And then we use TIP for a role-based integration for displaying these Cognos views. In addition, the solution is a single out-of-the-box solution, a one-button install, if you would. So it includes all the prereqs. So that'll include deploying the data stage. It'll include deploying the content into the Netezza clients. It'll include deploying the Cognos model. Deploy TIP, deploy everything that is needed to get the system up and running, other than the Netezza box itself, which is a hardware appliance that has to be installed. And all of the optimization and configuration for that solution is provided. So that's what the current release 1.1 solution looks like. I'm going to go through kind of each one of the areas, if you would, in a little more depth. So the end user capabilities, from a TIP perspective, they get a role-based interactive UI. So it's kind of a container, if you would, this console that houses all of the UIs is role-based. It's in addition to having interactive views within TIP, we can also schedule reports via Cognos, have them, you know, delivered, emailed, if you would, sent to a printer, all the capabilities Cognos delivers. And by providing the views within TIP, not only do we get the role-based capabilities and the high security model sitting on top of a WebSphere server, we get the integration with other Tibly products. So back to the SQMC, this is where you would integrate with TBSM as well, would have your overall TBSM view. You can have your launch and context with it single sign-on into the CEM views. If you have Omnibus, they'll be shown, even if you extend into ITNM, TNPM, etc., those can all be integrated through the same interactive console, role-based console. In addition to this, by leveraging Cognos 10.1.1, we're providing some out-of-the-box dynamic dashboards or active reports if you're familiar with Cognos itself. And what these active reports are is when they run, they really generate an HTML file that includes all of the data as well as the visualization in a single file. Thus, when the manager, the executive, is looking at the dashboard and navigating through the dashboard, it's highly interactive because it does not go back to the database. All of the interactions and the various pages that get displayed have all been cached, if you would, at the end user client side, and very, very fast, and they can look at and interact and see the data. But because it's not running live, you know, it is a cached version. It's a lot of times it's run once and emailed to them, etc. In addition to those dynamic dashboards, you know, there is a Cognos iPad app, and that a dashboard shown at the bottom of the page is a view on top of an iPad. Those same interactive dashboards can be run on top of an iPad because, again, they're self-contained. They can be loaded on the iPad with the iPad app, jump onto an airplane, sit in your seat, and start interacting with the data because your data has all been cached at the iPad. In addition to the iPad app, there is full mobile browser support, so all of the UIs can be executed from your BlackBerry, your iPhone, Symbian device, etc. With that said, there's some real estate challenges with some of the mobile devices, screen size, how much data you can really see. Yes, you have your Zoom, etc. But that's why some of the interactive dashboards are more optimized for something with a larger screen like an iPad. We also have a full ad hoc data analysis to allow one to drill and into data and analyze it. In addition, that where once they start drilling into the data, they may want to save what they just saw for come back tomorrow, come back next week, save it for future execution. And they can also pass it along to the support group who generates all common use reports. Says, look, this is some interesting insight that I've seen. You know, I'd like to have this into a formal report and maybe sent off to my group, etc. We also leverage Cognos Event Studio for allowing for notifications. So an end user to have looking at some data might see some interesting things or might be following some customer trends or some device trends. Maybe a new handset is being rolled out, like a Samsung Galaxy 3S or something is being rolled out. And they want to follow that, and maybe they want to be notified when the subscriber count for that handset gets above X number of subscribers, or the amount of data starting to be used by the handset type gets above. So they can get a real simple query, and when that happens, they can get notified through an SMS, an email, etc. So then that might trigger them mentally now to go start following some additional KPIs or KQIs based on now that there's enough volume, if you would, for that the rollout of that handset. So that's kind of a high-level summary of NNA end-user capabilities, and you'll see some screenshots on the right of some of the screens that are currently implemented on the in the product. So next, and as I mentioned, as we move down from kind of the UI down into the database, is Netezza. The acquisition of Netezza that happened last year is what really opened up for allowing us to provide these analytics. Prior to that, as I mentioned on the previous platform, we were struggling with scale into the high end to allow for the necessary data volumes to really provide the trends that we need, etc. Then we acquired Netezza, which really can scale from anywhere from the 30 terabytes up to 1.5 petabytes, now enables us to house, if you will, the volumes of data to really manage the end user's experience. Low cost of ownership. It's really a simplified interface, if you would, for a database. It does not provide a lot of the complex features of a traditional OLTP database. Very, very fast for scalability and queries across high volumes of data. And I'll get into how it does basically parallelization, if you would, of the queries to get that performance. The real value of the Netezza is built into, they actually have an accelerator program. It's built in, they use FPGA, and so for each hardware, they have a, or for each blade that gets installed in the hardware to add growth, there's a dedicated processor and a dedicated FPGA. That FPGA basically does a lot of the work for handling a lot of the data prefetching and decompressing off the disk, getting it into memory, et cetera. So the key of the Netezza box is trying to access the data in memory versus getting it off a disk, right? And so the FPGA accelerates that and helps with providing the fast I/O and the SQL queries to get to do basically fetch aheads, if you would, and get the data into the memory. And a Netezza appliance has, it's kind of made up with the concept you might hear, the S blades, and the S blade is really that the key component that grows. For every S blade, like I said, there's where the FPGA lives, it's where the processor lives, and a certain amount of disk is added. So as you upgrade models, you'll get additional blades. And it's a nice linear scale for, because for as you scale, there's additional disk, additional CPU, additional memory, and additional FPGA support for that CPU and disk. And so that it keeps all of the components in proportion, so you can scale linearly, so you'll get your performance scale. Where a lot of traditional databases, as the usage patterns grow, people start throwing more disk at it. Then all of a sudden, oh, I got to throw more CPU. Oh, I got to throw more memory. So it's not done. This is done as a blade, and everything's kept uniform, and you get true linear scale. In addition, everything is redundant. So really are two disks, two CPUs, etc. In some case, there's any failure in any of the components, secondary component takes over in what I'll call near real time, depending on what where the component is. If it's a back-end blade, like in a back-end disk, because they use a RAID approach, if one of the disks goes out, yes, it is actually seamless, where the second drive they'll start using, and the end user, other than an event being posted, would not even know that the disk went out. However, on the front end processor, if the front end processor does go down, this is where the actual connections come in and the queries are actually made. You'll actually see a slight delay in a message because the secondary processor will come up and take over the work. So the workload is being passed over. So that's like a minute or so delay, but it's minor. All right? So you have full redundancy built into that, into the front end. And basically what happens in Netezza, this is where the strength is, every time a query comes in, a query is actually decomposed into snippets and spread across all of the processors. And each one of those processors does a subset, if you would, of the query and fetches their specific form of the data and brings that back. So you got highly parallelization. So it's not the traditional parallelization of a query gets executed and another one gets executed in another process, another one on another processor. No, each query is decomposed and spread across all of the processors, and that's what the parallelization is per query, not having multiple queries running in parallel, if you would. Now, it does run multiple queries, and it has dispatching, and there is optimization to ensure that long queries do not starve short queries, and so the system is optimized to allow for that as well. Looking across, just to give you a little bit of background information, the current models, if you would, Netezza that are available. It used to be called Twin Fins. We've renamed them the Netezza 1000. And as you can see, various different aspects, so you can see the number of cores, FPGAs, etc. And you'll see there's an FPGA per core, as I mentioned before, and the various blades. And as you can tell, the model, the number, so mod 6 has 6 blades, a mod 12 has 12 blades, mod 24, 24, etc. So fairly straightforward naming convention. And you can see that a mod 12 is twice the capacity of a mod 6, if you would, right? So pretty straightforward linear scale. The one number you probably have to look at is because they roughly get about 4x compression on the drive. So there's usually two, what I call data in terabytes, data specifications you'll see on a NetEase server. And in this chart, it's called nominal capacity and effective end user capacity. So the nominal capacity is actually what the disk holds. And because they get about 4x compression, your effective, or the amount of data coming into that gets loaded in the NetEase box, is really your effective. So you really want to look at the bottom line, the effective user terabytes. So if you look at a Mod 12, for example, this really is a 128 terabyte device, because it has 32 terabytes of physical disk. You're getting compression that allows for that 128 terabytes to be stored. Okay. The next key component we have in the solution, as I mentioned earlier, is data stage. And a couple of reasons for choosing data stage. We know out of the box, not every type, every source of data will be able to be fully integrated out of the box, especially when you're doing dimensional data coming in from an inventory system or a billing system. Just by fact, some of our customers have proprietary systems. We cannot ship that capability out of the box. They probably don't have that information. So there'll be custom integration. It's a given. And thus, we need a tooling to allow it to be as easy as possible to integrate external data sources. And DataStage, for numerous reasons, provided us that capability. And so not only does it give us the development productivity we need with a nice graphical designer, and that graphical designer is great for designing the transformation jobs, if you would. It has reusable stages. Is very productive. We provide stages as well as data stage jobs out of the box. These can be extended. These can be modified with this tool, or brand new ones can be written and saved. So our stages are fully reusable, etc. And in addition, it gives full traceability, etc. So it's full developer productivity. So you can actually monitor as bytes go through the stage and what's happening to them, etc. Out of the box, the other thing that's nice about data stage is the full richness of components and capabilities, the pre-built stages, if you would, that come out of the box. There's transformation components, pre-built objects allow you to do all type of different things with filtering and eggs, etc. And then connectivity objects, a whole lot of out-of-the-box parsers, etc. And you know, last but not least, going back to our big data challenge that we had with the original platform while we're moving this is, data stage scales. It talked about NetEase scaling up to 1.5 petabytes and having multi-parallel processing for each query. Data stage is similar. Data stage is built from the ground up to have pure MPP design for massive parallel processing design and can scale greatly. So these are key attributes needed for a solution like this. In addition to this, DataStage was actually had done a lot of work with NetEase prior to the NetEase acquisition. So there was a lot of synergy already with DataStage and NetEase. And we continue to improve on that. And the NetEase stage, I'll call it the NetEase stage, it's a stage that was provided to interface with the NetEase box, and this has been around for the acquisition. We just recently enhanced at the end of last year to improve the performance. And at the time this analysis was done, and we tested this latest stage, this time the NetEase box we're using actually had a 2.5 terabyte per hour theoretical limitation from the hardware side. And the data stage rates we were getting were around 2.38 terabytes per hour load. So almost right up to the, you know, the theoretical limits. And we're actually seeing, you know, slightly above that on the unload, so the theoretical limits of 2.5 are obviously a little higher. Since then, in the NetEase box, the high ends, if you go to a Mod 96, I think it's a 96 and above, actually have up to 10, you might hear the term of 10 terabytes per hour load rates. Five terabytes an hour load rates. And so just be careful that this chart was tested against the lower ends that had 2.5 rating, and the higher ends now have a 5 terabyte per hour rating. And yes, the data stage will be close to that nominal rate for that high end. So as you can see, we can get high loads of data volumes into the NetTeezer server. We have the flexibility of the tool to allow customization by our customers and services for unique or proprietary data sources as well on site. So that adds to the overall flexibility and scale of the solution. Last but not least area I want to talk about is kind of the data model. So it's we have this value of Cognos on the front end and all of the valuable views and dashboards, et cetera, writing, in addition to Cognos capabilities that enable such flexibility like mobile support, et cetera. We have the simplicity, but yet the high scale of the NetTeezer box, and I really recommend you look at the overall cost of ownership too, because that is quite cheap compared to the previous Oracle database we were using. And then we have the data stage flexibility and scalability and efficiency of loading into the NetTeezer box. Now, what brings a lot of this together is the overall data model. And this is just a snippet of the data model. This is not the complete data model, but just kind of give you an idea of the type of data and the type of insights that can be provided in the first release of NNA. And if you start on the left-hand side, that is the dimensions, right? So I'm not going to go through each one of these. You can have looked at, but I apologize. Looks like the generation has of JPEG has caused some little overflow there. But by looking at all of the various different things, like service usage and service quality and radio quality, et cetera, you can look at that by time, and time means, you know, by day, by month, by hour, by, you know, all those various things. We have failure types, various categories, and detailed cause codes. Okay, we allow for geolocations, latitude, longitude. We even have polygon regions around the cell site. You can ID by the site, the market, the region, etc. So you can go up that dimensional structure as well. So there's geographical aspects there. You can look at location areas and routing areas. We can look at, you know, by the type of network, 2G, 3G, et cetera. We can do device. We can look at a manufacturing model. We can look at the version, software version. We can even look at the customer by customer-facing OS and the OS version. So in other words, I want to look by all Android phones, or I want to look by all Android ice cream sandwich phones versus gingerbread, things like that, right? So there's a whole breadth of various different dimensions we can look at, you know, that would go on down. So even look at some of the, you know, by URIs, who's going and hitting what URIs or over top providers, et cetera, right? We can even allow the customers, like contract types, rate plans, et cetera, these prepaid, postpaid customers, yada, yada, right? We can even drill down by individual customer. And actually, we have a frontline customer care view that allows you to drill in by individual customer and look at his or her last transactions over the last few days, few hours, et cetera. Everything from, you know, attach failures to, you know, incoming calls that received, yada, yada. You can see every single transaction they've had on the network. So a breadth of a dimensional data, again, across the various different service usages, service quality, for et cetera. So you might want to see, for example, let's take a look at, you know, you might want to see by voice attempts or voice successes or voice failures, you know, maybe you want to check accessibility issues. You can look at that by geolocation. You can look at it by device types. You're rolling out a new handset. You can look at it by device types. You can compare, start comparing OSs. And if you have a real problematic OS, and maybe it's an older OS, maybe you want to provide a marketing campaign to give a discount to customers to get off that OS and upgrade to a new phone on a newer OS and start to alleviate some of those customer problems you're having. You know, so there's various different aspects you want to look at with respect to this data. And again, we provide many of the views out of the box across this data. I'm showing this just so you've got a feel for what a customer can extend the views if they need to, or just use the views by. So with that, I'm just going to give a quick summary of what we're looking at. So the initial release has been focused, kind of like what CEM today is focused on wireless providers, service providers focused on the core set of service with voice, data, SMS, MMS. We're looking initially at bringing in transactional data, whether that be through mediated probe data or CDR data. The solution itself is Linux-based. All the components run on top of Linux. Linux is a platform, the only platform installed. Again, mentioned it has a single integrated common install, which includes all the prereq products and services. You don't have to go out and the customer doesn't have to go buy DataStage or Cognizant. All the licensing and all the products are deployed as part of this solution. Has a single shared console by using TIP, Tivoli Integrated Portal, has a shared console with other Tivoli products, especially important with the SQMC, so TBSM, et cetera, continue to integrate with that. Now, with that said, I'll let you know the level that TIP that we're on would integrate with TBSM 6.1. This is the version that was released the end of last year. We leverage, as mentioned, Netezza for Scale. Now, we do include, as part of this common install for the licensing, there is a DB2 database. That DB2 database is used for handling and holding the Cognos content store. It includes all the reports, the metadata model, et cetera, as well as all of the metadata needed for DataStage to deploy the mediation jobs. So think of the DB2 as your, you know, kind of your runtime database, and Netezza is your data analytics database. Okay. We use DataStage, as mentioned before, for the integration. And that's not just the network data, bringing in the probe CDR, but we also bring in, you know, use it for integrating dimensional data, or we want to import, if you would, key dimensional aspects from like inventory, like you maybe wanted to bring in your, you know, geocodes for latitude, longitude, for the cell sites, et cetera, right? And then the product depends on fully integrates with an LDAP repository. We also, if you don't have access, you know, don't have an enterprise-wide directory, or if you want to do a POC and don't want to tie into the customer's enterprise directory, we ship a version of LDAP server, the Tivoli directory server, if you would, that can be used for POCs and standalone environments, if you would. With that, I'm going to end my session here because it's recorded. We're not going to take any questions at this point. Thank you, and I hope you enjoyed the presentation.